I'm comfortable with how old I am, but I'm not comfortable with young people who I knew as children now walking around in their 20s. And I'm really not comfortable with the realization that we filmed the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged 25 years ago this year, a quarter of a century. Gentlemen, how does that make you feel?
Well, you filmed it 25 years ago. I filmed that one 2 years ago.
I have no memory of anything.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 963, filming complete works. ...2025 is the 25th anniversary of our filming of the Reduced Shakespeare Company's signature work, The Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged, written by RSE founding members Adam Long, Daniel Singer, and Jess Winfield, with additional material by Reed Martin. Reed, Adam, and I, the cast of the film, gathered last week to reminisce about what it took to film The Complete Works and what the response was and happily continues to be. Adam Long, as one of the founding members of the Reduced Shakespeare Company and the co-authors of The Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged, was the filming of it for television a long-cherished dream that was finally realized, or was it a surprise and shock to you?
It was both. I mean, you know me, Austin. I love watching like Bugs Bunny cartoons and Marx Brothers movies, so like actually putting something on screen was like a long time dream of mine, you know, and I think that PBS did a great job of it. And the weirdest thing about it was the fact that we were pretending to be in London when actually we were in Montreal the whole time.
Vancouver.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We weren't in Montreal at all, were we? See, I have no memory of anything.
We were even farther west. And that was one of the most intriguing. You're right. We had this. It was filmed in Vancouver for reasons I'm sure we can get into. But it was all seemed designed. The whole process seemed designed specifically to keep us completely jet lagged and unready to perform the entire time. Because first, Reed and I flew to meet you in London for a weekend of rehearsals and performances in front of an audience at the Criterion Theater. And then once we felt secure and secure in both the show and the time zone, we flew back to the west coast of North America to then film it for television.
I know, right? It's crazy. What are we, nuts? Yeah, So, PBS wanted to do it. They wanted to shoot the London production. And part of the reason that they had the financing to do it was because it was the London production, and that was a big deal. But then the rest of the financing had to come from somewhere, and they got tax breaks if they did it in Vancouver. So it was like, can we do the London production, but can we do it in Vancouver? And then it was a case of, well, we can't close the show in London while we go to Vancouver. So we had to have two casts going simultaneously, one in Vancouver and one in London. We had to rebuild the show so that the show could show in Vancouver. I had a prolapsed disc as well, so I was like on loads of codeine, and I had like this sort of brace on my back the whole time we were doing it. I was like codeined and jet lagged. You guys were jet lagged. It was the first time that the three of us had performed together in a couple of years, I think.
At least four or five,
it was pretty freaking crazy, but I was really happy with how it turned out. And as I remember, they shot it three times, twice in front of an audience and once just not in front of an audience, so the cameras could come up on stage and they could get like handheld shots of us and stuff. I'm happy with how that one turned out.
Was your back bad because of that flip you do as Juliet and Ophelia? Is that, do you know?
Yeah, well, it was right before your wedding, Reed. I think it was like the night before we all flew off to Ireland to go to your wedding. I went to do that flip and my foot caught in my skirt And instead of doing a full flip, I just landed flat on my back on stage. And it didn't hurt that night. It didn't hurt the next day when I was flying over to Ireland. It didn't hurt during your wedding. Then the next morning, it hurt. I was just like flat on the floor of the hotel room bathroom. I just couldn't even move. So anyway, that's what happened to my back. And it was still hurting a couple of years later when we did that video.
Can't remember. Did you do the flip in the video?
I don't think so. No, I think I stopped doing it by then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I remember about.
Because I discovered it got just as big a laugh if I just fell down.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't, if I didn't do a flip and I just fell down, it got just as big a laugh. I thought, why was I doing that flip all those years?
Exactly right. What I remember about talking for, many years about shooting the show was there was a fear back, say, in the 90s, that putting the show on television or out on video is going to hurt live sales. As a sports fan, back in the olden days, teams had that concern as well, that they would only broadcast away games. Well, people have figured out that it's actually the opposite, is that, you know, teams broadcast their home games and it acts as advertising. And so I don't know if the opportunity had arisen, but I remember concern from various parties that they didn't want to shoot the show and put it out there for fear that it would hurt live sales. But of course it did not.
Well, and in fact, the film of Wicked has goosed Broadway sales to the Broadway live production.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and there's a lot of parallels between the Wicked film and our video of The Complete Works.
Yes,
very much 100%. So.
A lot of what's up, witches.
I think that Cynthia Erivo got the idea of going bald from seeing Reed in The Complete Works of William Shakespeare.
Oh, there's no thing about
now
it.
That's a good look.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Reed, your long fingernails that you wear, that was influenced by Cynthia Erivo, so it kind of goes both ways.
Give and take.
The thing I remember as the other fear was that so much of the success of The Complete Works and all of the Reduced Shakespeare Company shows is the interaction, and all theater generally, is the interaction between the performers and the audience. And how do you capture that on film? And I think that was one of the more successful aspects of this, is that we did run into the audience. We threatened to kill a cameraman. And you threw up in a guy's hat. And I think, I'm not sure whether he was there the entire show, because I think we might have used shots of different audiences for different purposes. But I think we did capture that live feel, and they mic'd the audience really well, so you can hear the audience response.
And we threatened a little kid too. We threatened a little kid, and the little kid threatened us right back.
Yes, he did.
And we definitely in the video, there's definitely shots of the same row with different people in it. So they're definitely. Hey, wait a minute! The whole front row has changed from the last shot. What happened?
Somebody was asking me.
The kind of thing we'd notice, but other people wouldn't.
Somebody was asking me, do we know the gal who was, there's two women. There's the Ophelia. And then there's a woman in the front row that you interact with. I think maybe you were sitting next to. Somebody asked me, do we know who that woman is?
Could we
find her? I wonder. One of the joys I know when we filmed The Complete History of America Abridged for a DVD release, one of the pleasures I take in that, in seeing that, is that my parents are sitting in the front row of that film.
Awesome.
And so they're no longer with us, but I get to see them on that film. And there was something special about this this film as well, because we finagled a cameo appearance from one of the other co-authors of the and founders of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, Daniel Singer, as the Ego. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, Daniel running back and forth as the Ego. That was a great moment. He was a very good Ego. I think with that woman who played Ophelia, we should maybe, if she's listening to the podcast, we should like say, please, you know, we'll buy you a bag of potato chips if you come forward and identify yourself.
I think we can go for it and buy her two.
No way.
I can make that commitment right here and now. The other thing that was great about Daniel's appearance as the ego is that he played it really well. He played it like, oh, you're pulling me up in the audience? Even though, A, he wrote the bit and helped write the bit, and B, he knew we were going to pull him up.
And that's he was great. He was just like, he really seemed like he was just like a regular guy who just got caught, dragged up on stage, had that sort of rabbit in the headlights look that all of the best volunteers have.
And probably the best thing, the best continuing thing from my point of view of that video is still to this day, after virtually every performance, somebody comes up to us and says, you know, I saw you guys in, our teacher showed us that video in drama class, or we read Romeo and Juliet, and then the teacher showed us the video. And I said, was that a reward or a punishment? So it's, you know, you do a live show, you know, we've all been doing that Complete Works. Adam, bits of it since what, 1981?
Yeah, 1981 was the first time.
You know, you add up all those live performances and it's nowhere near the millions and millions of people who have seen that video.
Yeah, on YouTube alone, I think it's getting up into the hundreds of thousands, close to a million.
Boy, I am really not comfortable with the idea that Adam's been performing parts of the Complete Works of William Shakespeare for 44 years.
I know.
Coming up on half a century. Good Lord.
That ain't right.
Hiya, friends. Ralph Sportsman, Ralph Sportsman Motors, the world's largest used, nude, and nude-lewd automobile dealership here in cyberspace. And you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Talking about the lasting legacy of the video is that I still hear wonderfully, you know, I'll visit a high school class where they have showed this video, or I'll talk to actors and critics who either saw us live or saw this. Or saw the video, you know, actors and critics whose work I really respect, and I discover that they were inspired in some small way by us and this video. Trey Tyler Reed, one of our newest and youngest members of the company who plays your roles typically, just said that when he first saw that video, the timing of the bit where you're the Prince of Verona and you smash the dummy's head against the wall on your exit, he said, just the timing of that bit was so chef's kiss exquisite. He went, that's what made me want to go into theater. I went, wow, that's such a specific example.
Wow. The timing of Reed smashing a dummy's head against a wall is responsible for some guy dedicating his life to theater.
And I just visited a high school class yesterday where the teacher told me that he had studied that text when he was in high school, and our approach to reducing Shakespeare and performing Shakespeare was helpful to him when performing real, not reduced Shakespeare. And I think that's a sort of a tribute to the RSC acting style too, which I think a lot of companies get wrong. They don't play it straight enough.
Well, when I think, you know, when we started touring, we knew that there would be nights where people would laugh a lot and there'd be nights where the show's just as good, but people just don't laugh as much. Mm. And so if you can't count on getting a laugh, you have to play it as if you're playing a drama. Yeah. So if you get a laugh, great. But if not, it doesn't matter because you're just doing a piece of drama and you're moving on from one bit to the next, you know? Yeah. And actually it got a lot funnier, I think, because we played it dramatically. But I think the time we spent in Britain had a really interesting effect. I think we maybe went a little bit too far in that direction, because I remember when we came from Britain back to America, people were still laughing at us, but I remember people coming up to us after the show and going, yeah, you're still funny, but you guys are so mean. And I think that was like the British influence. I think the British like it a little bit mean, a little bit nasty.
Yeah, we're mean. Well, that's why it's funny. But I remember people saying to us when we got back, well, we'd done the show in London for a year, And people said, oh, you're going so fast. So I don't know what, if that was just because we had it so well, but that, yeah, we sort of, the British, the Americans like to see a twinkle in your eye. And the Brits want you to do it a la John Cleese, right? Just very seriously and a little with a touch of mean.
I remember one of the nicest compliments I think I received was when we did those shows at the Criterion. And it was a fantastic reunion because sort of every British-based actor who had been with the Reduced Shakespeare Company came on our first night. And so it was a reunion of the entire massive Reduced Shakespeare Company stable of actors. And one of them, after the performance, we all went to the pub, the Captain's Log, Captain's Cabin.
Captain's Cabin, yep.
Captain's Cabin afterwards. And one guy said, it might have been, I think it was Christian Malcolm. He said, it was so good to see you guys do it because it feels like you sort of hit the reset button on how this is supposed to be done. Because I think what happens with other actors is that, performing in the Reduced Shakespeare Company, is that everybody wants to play Adam's role because it's the most fun, you know? But yet, the Reed and Austin roles are the most important. Sorry, Adam.
Of course you are.
Because we keep it straight and grounded. And yes, we're mean, but we're mean like siblings are mean. We're mean to each other unless somebody comes at us and then it's all for one. We are bound together in a brotherhood of Shakespeare.
You know, it was hilarious, you guys, when we got, you know, there's that moment in the show where you choose the woman to be Ophelia. You pull this woman up on stage and you go, well, she can play Ophelia. And I don't like the idea that you've got somebody else to play Ophelia because it's like, okay, I'll do it. And you're like, no, she's going to do it. And then I'm walking past her and I just kind of shove her and I go, good luck. And that always, like with you guys, that always got a big laugh, like shove this woman, just go, good luck. And she... But then when you guys left and I was doing the show with David Letwin and Matthew Hendrickson in the UK, first day I go to shove that woman and I say, good luck. The audience does not laugh at all. No, like crickets chirping. And I try it again the next night, still no laugh at all. In fact, if anything, as I shove her and go, good luck, there's almost like a little bit of a gasp from the audience. And then I realize, when I was on stage with you guys, I was the shortest guy on stage.
Ooh.
So if the little guy shoves a woman, it's funny. But with David Letwin and Matthew Hendrickson, I was the biggest guy on stage. And if the biggest guy shoves a woman, that's not funny. I started just stooping as I came up on stage. I just sort of like would make sure that as I came up on stage, I was stooped over and lower than the woman. And then I'd give her a little shove, and the audience liked that. They'd laugh their heads off at that.
Wow.
But it was just a case of relative size is the difference between funny and scary.
That's such a Spinal Tap observation.
With me, it's always scary. It's just the big bald.
The big bald Cynthia Erivo dude.
That's right, with the fingernails.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. Send us your favorite ego via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareance.com. Thanks, as always, to not an Ophelia, but an incredible Juliet, Matthew Croak. Web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Madam Nostalgic. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Ralph Spoilsport himself, Phil Proctor of the legendary Firesign Theater. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Tischner, 963 2889ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Also, this is a story that isn't relevant to the show at all, but I'll tell it anyway. When we were on tour in Ireland, right before that first run that we did at the Arts Theatre in the Republic of Ireland, I remember that we were going around to like our producer was taking us to all these pubs. Like everywhere we toured to, she'd take us to the pub and she'd introduce us to the pub landlord. And I would say to the pub landlord, you know, he'd always say, the pub landlord would always say, "How do you like Ireland?" And I'd say, "Oh, I love it. It's just a beautiful place. I love the people. It's fantastic. We're having a great time here." And the pub landlord would always just sort of scowl and then not talk to me again for the rest of the evening. And then after this had happened like two or three times, I said to our producer, I said, "What's going on? I tell these people how much I love their country and they don't even talk to me." And she goes, "Yeah, that's because they're tired of these patronizing Americans who are always telling you, 'Oh, your country's so charming. It's so sweet.'" And I thought, oh, okay, it's like that, is it? So the next time we go into a pub, the guy goes, this big pub landlord says, "So, how do you like Ireland?" I just go, "It's fucked." And he goes, "What?" I go, "Yeah, it's just, I hate this country. It's ugly. It's terrible. The people are just a bunch of bastards. I can't wait to get out of here." And like for a second, the guy looked at me like he was going to punch me. And then he just clapped me around the shoulder and went, "Ah, this guy." And he started buying me drinks and everything. It was a real eye opener to like the difference between Americans and gosh darn it, everything's great and peachy and wonderful, and people in other countries where they have different attitudes about things in general.
Look around this shithole.
You call this a country?
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.